Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome back to a brand new DNF1 F1 podcast. I hope that you're all doing well and thank you as always for being here. It's great to have you along and joining me on this episode for the Chinese Grand Prix predictions and preview episode, of course, is Lee Wannington. Hello, Lee.
Hi, Adam. How you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Much better than I was a couple of days ago. And obviously that's the reason why we weren't able to have the show out for you guys on Wednesday. I know I said that we were doing the preview episode for Wednesday. You probably listened to this on a Friday. So I do apologise for the delay. But fortunately, I'm well rested up, feeling a lot better than I was a couple of days ago. So we are going to be doing the show a little late, but certainly better than nothing, I suppose. That's the right way to put it. I never really know sometimes, Lee, when... You know, you're always worried about scheduling of content and getting the episodes out at the right time. Is there a right and a wrong time? I suppose for this, we've got to do it before the actual race takes place. So we're technically okay.
Yeah, the wrong time would definitely be after the race for a preview.
Too
much spoilers.
The predictions would be pretty handy by then, I would say. But
100% accurate.
Oh, yeah. Well, at that point, you'd have to bank on the accuracy at that point. But of course, yeah, sorry, I was just adjusting the volume on my laptop. But yes, the Chinese Grand Prix predictions and plenty of news that's been going on. Of course, Fernando Alonso signing a new deal with Aston Martin. Obviously, there's going to be ramifications in the remainder of the driver market. But I think we will save that discussion for another episode. Before we get going, as always, we ask for your support in the form of giving us a 5-star review. Now, of course, if you haven't left us a review yet, please do. It really does help out the show. And thank you to everybody that has left a 5-star review for the podcast and their favorite podcasting platform. In this episode, we are dedicating this particular podcast episode to a review that we received on Apple Podcasts from HRS92. And she writes, "Brilliant all-rounder F1 podcast. Adam is a great host with enthusiasm galore for F1. Lee and Courtney are great co-hosts and the chat between all three of them is interactive and knowledgeable. I'm fairly new to F1 and this podcast is easy to listen to, teaches me a lot about F1 and keeps me up to date. Highly recommend." So thank you, HRS92. This podcast episode is for you. Now, Lee, Chinese Grand Prix. First time F1 has been there since 2019, 5 years ago.
And it's been a while. Of course,
it has been a while, and we all know why. Obviously, you know, there have been issues with the pandemic that has really halted proceedings in China. But F1 is certainly coming back to a country and, you know, not to monopolize it, but a market as well that they've really wanted to try and break into. And hopefully, F1 is able to manage to achieve that. Hopefully, China is able to put on a good show because there's going to be contract talks over whether to continue with having a Chinese Grand Prix. I think this is the penultimate race on the current deal. So it's very important that F1 and China are able to put on a very good show for the fans, and that, of course, hopefully the grandstands will be sold out with loads of locals and loads of travelling fans from around the world, so that perhaps China can cement its place on the calendar, which I think a lot of people probably would hope they're able to do.
Especially Zhou.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it certainly can't hurt his chances of getting a drive next season, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading that they've built extra grandstands this year, because obviously in the past, unfortunately, China has been empty grandstands, and there's been a lot of advertising just put over the seats. So the fact that they build extra grandstands, I really hope that means there's going to be a crowd of some form this year, and I hope there's a good local turnout for Zhou. Obviously, multiple years in Formula 1, then he finally gets a home Grand Prix.
Yeah, absolutely. The last Chinese Grand Prix that we had was, funny enough, the 1,000th race in Formula 1. It's now 1,105 that we're coming up to for this particular weekend. I think it's 1,105, something like that. But yeah, it's been a while. And there's obviously going to be a lot of challenges this weekend as well, Lee. So it's going to be quite interesting. There's been a lot of talk about the track surface. It's a circuit that's not been used very often. Certain parts of the circuit has been relayed. We can't confirm or deny if the whole track's been relayed or if it's just certain parts. We know that Carlos Sainz and Ferrari were talking about that in some detail, but obviously to what extent that has happened, we're not 100% sure. So it's going to be a huge challenge for a lot of the drivers as well. And in addition to that, Lee, we've got a handful of drivers that have either not raced here before or I've only raced here once during their rookie season in F1. I think I saw a list. Tsunoda, Zhou, Piastri and Sargeant haven't raced here yet. And Albon, Norris and Russell have only raced once as rookies. So it's going to be a huge challenge this weekend for all the teams and drivers.
I believe there's also mixed conditions forecasted for the weekend as well. Which, if that does happen, is going to make it even more up on its turn on the table. And we may see a slight repeat of Istanbul Park. Was it 2020? Where we went back and it was rain and the oils from the new tarmac and cars couldn't get heat in their tyres, cars kept sliding off the track. Loads of things happening.
And that was a great race. So, you know, if we get that this weekend, I'm certainly all for it. I'm sure a lot of people would probably be very happy to see a Grand Prix like we had in Turkey 2020. So, yeah, bring it on. I mean, you know, in addition to that stat, Lee, I read the other day about it being the 1,105th race or 1,106, something like that. Since F1 has last been to China, there's been 105 races and 80 of those have been won by either Hamilton or Max Verstappen. So, you know, in a way, it does paint the picture that perhaps we need less wins from Verstappen or Hamilton. But let's bear in mind, Hamilton hasn't won a race in nearly 3 years. Now, so I don't think many people would be too disappointed if Hamilton broke that duck this weekend and added to that 80 race tally that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be different, but I doubt that will happen this weekend, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Mercedes fans and Hamilton fans will certainly live in hope that this is the weekend where that all changes and maybe he's on the top step of the podium. He's a six-time winner in China, won here more than anyone else, so if anyone can do it, it's certainly Lewis. So let's move on to our first prediction of the weekend. And because it's a sprint weekend as well, Lee, we're going to add in an extra category, and that is a prediction for the sprint winner, but we're not going to do that one yet. We're going to do the biggest good surprise. So who's your biggest good surprise for this weekend, Lee?
Fernando Alonso.
Oh, I like that one. Is this a bit of an upturn in form, although his form's been pretty good, following his new contract?
Yeah, I wasn't going to say his form hasn't been bad. So, good thing you added that on. I know it's definitely because of his new contract. I think, just the contract. Obviously, the car is obviously making leaps and bounds, and it's a track that may suit the car because obviously the aero efficiency of that Aston Martin, and it's not a draggy car, which the draggy cars are going to be really hit by the layout of this circuit. But Fernando is going to have the upper bounce in his step, so to speak, for signing his new contract. Had a good performance last time out. Goes to China. The car may potentially suit the track. Other rival teams in the upper midfield, whatever you want to call it, chasing pack, may struggle this weekend. So he's going to be right in the thick of it, so to speak. There, and I think he's going to have a really good time.
Yeah, it's certainly a good shout. It caught a lot of us by surprise that Fernando Alonso would put pen to paper on a new deal with Aston Martin. As I said, we did a whole episode on this with Sam Cooper. So, of course, if you haven't checked that out, definitely check that out. It's probably further down in the listing, but it's definitely there. Well, we had a good chat about Fernando Alonso's new deal. With all that being said, Lee, obviously I want to get your thoughts on this as well. Were you surprised that Fernando was committed his medium-term future, at least driving with Aston Martin, if not a longer term, that Fernando was not quite specified yet?
I'm not surprised, to be honest. For multiple reasons, really. It's like, firstly, Fernando loves being the Captain America, so to speak, of the squad, the leader, the main character, the protagonist, whatever terminology you want to throw towards it, he has to be in the center. And he's, although Lance is supposed to be that, Fernando is very much that in Aston Martin. The team is built around him. The team aren't disrupted by Fernando's character, which we've seen in the past, that these characters rub people up the wrong way. They're all loving his performances. They're working together to go forward, which you think Fernando's career, that hasn't happened very often. You can't say he's gelled in the team that much. Probably since his championship winning years, really. He's always had a bit of tumultuous times at Ferrari, his second stint at Renault, McLaren twice. Can't remember his really Minardi days. I don't know if there was any character trouble, but I'm sure there was.
There's not really any of that. It was mostly just watching him knocking that Minardi eight ways from Sunday and still finding a way to drag it to some level of performance, albeit it was still at the back. But yeah. Quite a sight. If you can watch a YouTube video of Fernando Alonso in 2001 in the Minardi, it was very impressive. I remember, not to go too off tangent, I remember when I was at the Belgium Grand Prix, funny enough, when I was 10. And I remember watching him knocking about in the Minardi, and he looked quite decent, but little was I to know when I was busy enjoying Michael Schumacher doing goat things that was a two-time world champion and arguably one of the greatest of all time, just lying in wait to show everyone what he could really do.
Yeah, and he still works to this day. And the other thing is, obviously, he knows that there's a lot of investment behind the scenes with Lawrence and the drive and the ambition to win it, and Honda. I mean, at the end of the day, they're the current championship winning manufacturer engine. Obviously, we're still a couple of years away, but the 26 engine's already being worked on. He knows roughly what Honda are working on. He's obviously been involved in the back chat, and he's probably liking what he's seeing. And back in the McLaren days, McLaren were trying to catch up, but this time they're in the same level footing, going into new regs. And he's obviously got confidence in Honda can achieve it because they achieved it, took their time from the McLaren days, or 2015, 2016. But they got there to win the championship and they've kept it going. And obviously, he looked at other teams. Mercedes probably have a good power unit. There's a lot of unknown questions with the Red Bull powertrain Ford engine. So that sort of maybe ruled that out, and he's like, no, I'm going to stick with the championship winning team, or manufacturer, I should say, not the team, and see how 26 goes. So I'm going to commit to it, and I'm happy. He's still got the performance, so you can't really question it.
Yeah, it's very much about positioning himself in the right place at the right time. Whether Fernando has done that or not, we're not sure. Throughout his career, Lee, it's not something that we've heralded as a strength of his. If anything, it's probably been his biggest weakness. But yeah, it's a solid move. I think realistically speaking, the Mercedes drive was not really on for him. It looked like Mercedes were going to put all their eggs in the Kimi Antonelli basket. Red Bull, whether that was serious or not, I guess we'll never know. We'll always hear rumours that Red Bull were approaching him, but perhaps it weren't as serious as some people may like to have admitted. So you do wonder with Fernando, you know, what's the best option for him? And I think in a way, it's probably to stay exactly where he is, build himself into a team that he's already given a lot to and are prepared to invest a lot in. Honda have obviously spoken quite affluently and amicably about Fernando, despite their troubled past. So you do have to hope that when 2026 comes around, they might be able to produce something that is capable of Fernando winning, maybe not a world championship, but certainly a few Grand Prix. And I think that will go a long way to help him feel a lot better about his F1 career. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. In terms of my big surprise, I'm going Lewis Hamilton. Ooh. And the logic behind it is, even though this has not been a good start to the season for Lewis, like you said earlier, Lee, this is a circuit that Mercedes, I think, will be targeting to have a good performance. Now, of course, there's a lot of variables and a lot of issues that we may not be able to account for that we're going to talk about as this episode goes on, about the unpredictability of this weekend and obviously the fact we haven't been there for 5 years. But we're talking about a guy who knows this track like the back of his hand. He's won here more than anyone else. It's a circuit as well that should suit the Mercedes more so than the others have. It's a circuit that has a lot of long mid to high speed corners, which is one of the Mercedes strengths of this W15. So for that reason, I think he's going to have a good weekend. I don't think he's washed. I don't think he's finished by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not going to go out and say that a podium would be enough, although that would be nice, I suppose. But I think he's going to have the better of his teammate at least. And, you know, even though Russell's definitely been the better of the two so far, Russell's not resoundedly beaten Lewis. Obviously, there's been a few issues with the car or strategy or whatever so far this season. But I think he's going to have a strong weekend. And I think at the very least, he will be the better Mercedes driver out of the two. But I think they're both going to have a good weekend compared to where they've been so far.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like an intriguing one. And I do think I want to add that normally when there's slippery track surfaces, yes, in the past, Mercedes have better cars, but Lewis is normally quite good at handling low grip, slippery surfaces. And if it's going to be a messy race and they've got the car performance and Lewis can keep it on the road, he could easier come towards the front. Maybe not a win or a podium, but better than ninth.
Well, certainly. And who won in Turkey 2020? Lewis Hamilton. Albeit he was driving, what was it, the W11? That season. Yeah. So, yeah, completely different machinery. And that was by far the class of the field that year, where the W15 obviously is not. But yeah, I think it's going to be a stronger weekend for Mercedes. Let's move on to our biggest flop. I want to go first on this one, Lee. And I'm going to be very unpopular here. But I reckon McLaren are going to have a flop weekend this weekend. And it's not to do with the fact that I think all the stars are going to align and everyone thinks they're coming up papaya and actually it's coming up an absolute dud. But this is a circuit which, if your car is not good in the low speed corners, and there are a lot of them on this circuit, you will struggle. And that is a characteristic throughout this entirety of this ground effect era that McLaren have still not been able to get on top of. So for that reason, Lee, I think, on top of the unpredictability element as well, that Norris and Piastri are going to have a very tough weekend. Not to mention the fact that I think team-wise, it's probably the most unexperienced driver pairing at this circuit as well, which obviously won't go in their favour.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about McLaren as my choice for the flop this weekend, to be perfectly honest. So that...
Well, at least I'm not alone.
No,
in McLaren alone, sympathy corner this weekend.
Didn't pick them, but I definitely thought about putting them on my flop weekend for those exact reasons. But I went with Zhou, unfortunately. His first home Grand Prix. Not that Sauber is any good car by any measure, but I've got a feeling that he's going to be soundly beaten by his teammate this weekend. That the pressure of his first home Grand Prix and a potentially a large home crowd, he doesn't have the experience, and I think it's going to overwhelm him, and he's not going to get a good result at all for the car. Not obviously he's going to get a points or anything, but he's just going to be completely messy at the back of the field.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, pit stops is the name of the game at the moment with Sauber. It's the one area that they've really struggled more than anything else. And I went boldly and thought they might do all right in Japan. And then the first pit stop was an absolute mess. So that completely set the tone. An issue that I don't suspect that they would have resolved anytime soon. So I'm not surprised. Well, I'm not expecting all of a sudden they're going to be like Red Bull, Ferrari, all of a sudden in terms of pit stop quality, even Williams for that matter. They're usually pretty handy. I suppose for Sauber's sake, Lee, Valtteri Bottas, did you see a video online? the other day. He was doing laps around the Shanghai circuit in treacherously wet conditions on a bike. So, you know, so far, Valtteri Bottas currently sitting on pole position in wet conditions on a bike. So, you know, that's something for Sauber at least.
Yeah, well, he's getting the practice in. All the drivers probably give it a good cycle around to get their mind's eye in it. But Valtteri is definitely going to be enjoying some slippery conditions, that's for sure.
Yeah, quite literally. And hopefully a decent weekend for Sauber. I'm still going to pander to the home crowd. I think I've got a bold prediction for Zhou anyway. So we've got to do something on this podcast, gain some credibility amongst our Chinese followers, back the hometown favourite or local favourite. Well, I don't know if he's from Shanghai. I'd have to check that. But still, hopefully it's going to be a good weekend for Zhou. Let's move on to the... let's do pole position first, shall we, Lee? In normal qualifying, of course, it's a sprint weekend, but we'll do qualifying prediction first. So who's on pole position for Sunday's race, the main event?
Max.
Yeah. I want to say someone else, but I think it's probably going to be Max Verstappen. I mean, Red Bull have found the edge in qualifying. Max Verstappen, as we saw in Japan, is in a different league. Although Checo did run him quite close, so maybe Checo has found another gear here and he's more comfortable in this Red Bull. He might challenge Max this weekend if he's not too careful.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he challenges Max this weekend. And it'd be nice to see that Suzuka wasn't a one-off and how close he ran him. But I think Max will, even if Sergio does, I think Max will have the edge.
Yeah. Okay, so let's do the sprint race winner. So who are you backing, Lee, to win the sprint race this weekend?
Max.
I'm going to go Charles Leclerc.
Ooh.
To win the sprint race. Now, I know, Ferrari fanboy, Charles Leclerc fanboy.
I mean, you should be picking Carlos Sainz, at least if you're picking Ferrari.
Look, either or is still going to be a great day. Any red car that wins the Grand Prix is always a good day in my book. But in a way, I think Charles Leclerc's comments following the Japanese Grand Prix was quite eye-opening in that he was quite openly admitting that he has struggled to get on top of a certain characteristic of this Ferrari that obviously Carlos Sainz has mastered, and that was around the tyre preparation and qualifying. And for me, when you've got the best qualifier in Formula One, in my opinion at this point in time, although, you know, Max Verstappen certainly argues a good case for that based on recent form, I think the fact that he's able to acknowledge that and realise that is a good thing. And look, he was saying in Japan he thought he put together a good lap, and maybe he did. You know, I'm sure he knows what a good lap and a bad lap looks like. So you can only put it down to the tyre preparation and the fact that he was half a second off Max, he was a few temps off his teammate. The same thing happened in Australia. In Bahrain, we thought he was going to get pole position, and then when it came to Q3, he didn't quite nail that properly. So obviously, there's a tyre preparation issue that he needs to get on top of. Now, you know, we know one of Carlos Sainz's biggest strengths is that you can give him almost any car in any situation, and there's a good chance he'll do a pretty good job in it. And I think Ferrari have got that in him, and it's something they're going to have to deal with after he's been moved on and Hamilton has come in, because I don't think Hamilton's that kind of guy either. I think he's more in the Leclerc camp where all the right conditions have to be perfect for him to nail it, and when he does, it's absolutely phenomenal. So for me, I think Charles Leclerc acknowledging that, something that he's obviously keen to work on, is obviously a good thing. Hopefully this car can facilitate that. So far, it's been a very good car to drive as far as Ferrari are concerned. So in terms of the race pace element, which I think is more telling, even though Carlos has got the better of Leclerc in all three races that they've been together, okay, Bahrain, Leclerc had a problem. Obviously, we don't count Jeddah because Carlos wasn't even there. But in Australia and in Japan, yes, Carlos has got the better result. But I would argue that the peak race pace from both drivers would suggest that Leclerc has got the edge in that regard. So I think if Leclerc can figure out this issue in qualifying, that's half the battle for him. And I think he's going to manage that this weekend. And I think he could, given the right circumstances and the strengths this Ferrari has, which round this circuit should complement, I think there's a good chance Leclerc, if he gets his act together, can win. But he needs to get qualifying right.
Yeah, I mean, the logic is sound, and I do agree he's got some problem with qualifying. He's had some good race pace, but because he's always started behind Carlos, he's always on the back foot on the strategy. So if he does master the qualifying, especially the sprint aspect, it gives him more confidence for the rest of the weekend.
I mean, I know it's a bit of fanboyism here, but as I said, I was thinking a lot about this, but and I know obviously you're a big Carlos fan. You've always been a bigger supporter of him in terms of you've always rated him a bit higher than Leclerc, and that's understandable. I think his all-round skill set does grant him that to a degree. But I just think that, you know, the way Formula One is at the moment and how good Carlos Sainz is, that he's really beaten Leclerc as impressive as he's been because Leclerc's not started well. If Leclerc has started near Carlos, I think it's a bit of a different story. We haven't seen that yet, admittedly. But judging by the data and the metrics that we have, Leclerc in Japan, you know, the only reason why he doesn't finish behind Carlos is because he started four or five places behind him on track. Same thing with Australia when he got bogged down. But the race pace, certain elements of it towards the end was so good. You're thinking, if Leclerc drives like that the whole race and qualifies better, he's in with a shout of at least challenging Perez. Maybe not Max, but he's in that ballpark.
Yeah, so obviously we don't know what the tyre wear is going to be this weekend, on the track conditions and whatnot. But if it's going to be severe graining or anything like that because of the track. We know Charles can leave, do a stint and still have 99% of the tyres left. So he fairly has a good opportunity.
Well, we know from Melbourne and what we saw in Japan that when it comes down to the non-thermal degradation, which is more the graining stuff that we saw in Melbourne, Ferrari is as good as anybody. Now, of course, we know the Red Bull is a better car. You know, let's not convince ourselves here that all of a sudden Ferrari are going to turn over the script. They're going to turn this into a two-horse fight as much as we would want to see it. Maybe that will come late in the season. I don't know. But there are positive signs there. So, you know, in Leclerc's case, he's just got to put the qualifying together. If he can get that right, like he had done so many times before when Ferrari had a bad race car, then we might see what Charles Leclerc can really do. But obviously, he's still got to do that. We're all talking theoretical here, but he's got to put it together to make that work. Otherwise, we're just I'm just waffling on about nothing, really. It's not relevant if he doesn't put it together.
Right, he'll put it together eventually. Maybe not this weekend.
Let's hope so. Let's hope he does. Okay, so we've done that. Let's do our top three, Lee, for this for the main race on Sunday. So who are you going for P3?
Ooh, I mean, I thought hard about it. And I've gone for Fernando.
Ooh, I like it. I like that prediction a lot. I really want to match that, but I'm going to be boring and I'm going to say Carlos Sainz and P3.
Yes, Carlos Sainz, yeah.
I thought you might like that one. We've got an all-Spanish P3, just different drivers. P2, I'm going Leclerc, P2.
Ooh, Carlos Sainz.
Ah, okay. And then race winner?
Max.
Yeah, Max. We're building up. It's like, who's it going to be? No, it's going to be Max. Do you know how long it's been since we last been to China? Like, I was just thinking about this the other day, but they were testing the virtual safety car back in 2019. We didn't actually have a fully working virtual safety car last time we went to China because of, was it 2018? Where Danny Ric won? Where they had a full safety car that came out after, I can't remember if it was Verstappen and Vettel come together or something like that. And then the safety car came out, but they didn't have a VSC back then. So they had the default, which was basically just go to safety car. And obviously that, and that's what obviously introduced that metric. But we hadn't actually seen a live VSC since the Chinese Grand Prix has been around.
Oh, wow. I can't imagine the not a VSC. It's so used to it now. It's
crazy. I know. Absolutely crazy. But there you go. So, yeah, but that's our top three. So I've gone with Verstappen to win, Leclerc second, Sainz P3, and Lee has gone with Verstappen to win and Sainz in P2, and Fernando Alonso in P3. I like your podium very much, but I need a bit more red for it to be in my liking. But it's interesting to see neither of us went with a Mercedes on the podium, which is quite telling. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. I think, you know, Fernando deserves his props, and I think it's going to be a strong weekend for him as well. But we'll have to wait and see what that entails. So, Lee, final prediction, our bold prediction for this weekend. I'm going to let you have the floor. What's your bold prediction going to be?
I've already said it in my podium, but if you don't accept it, I do have a backup. So my bold prediction was an Aston Martin podium.
Oh, I'll accept that. I think that's fairly... Because, I mean, what at else? The moment, Ferrari and Red Bull in particular are the class of the field. Obviously more so Red Bull than Ferrari. McLaren is usually the only realistic threat, and I think everything has to go right for McLaren and things have to go wrong for Ferrari to make that happen. And we saw that with Lando, I can't remember what race it was now, with Lando in Melbourne, when obviously the Red Bulls obviously had problems and he was able to take advantage of that. So at the moment, if a podium doesn't contain a Red Bull, an all Red Bull Ferrari podium, it's a very good race for whoever it is that manages to sneak up there at the moment. So I would consider that to be quite the bold prediction.
Thank you. Because sometimes you don't like my
prediction,
so I have to think of a second one just in case it's not accepted.
It's all in the name. We go too conservative and it's likely to happen. But no, I think that's a fairly boldish prediction. My one, I'm going to try and pander to the home crowd here for our Chinese followers.
Joe to win.
Scores. No, don't say. There's pandering.
We just said our podium.
There's so pandering and then there's me lying out my backside. Honestly, no, I'm not going to do that on this show. I have a little bit more credibility and wheel knowledge than that. Thank you very much. Although what a story that would be if it would happen. I bet the Chinese Grand Prix would be extended indefinitely if Zhou Guan Yu won there this weekend. But no, I'm going to go for Zhou to get points. I like to see a driver at their home race get a good result. And I think for Sauber, in the current landscape of F1 at the moment, you almost feel like the car could be there. It's not bad, but, you know, because it's quite tightly bunched in that midfield behind the RBs, but or in particular Tsunoda. But, I don't know. I just think if Zhou can somehow find a way to get points at his home Grand Prix, I think that will send a lot of home fans home very, very happy indeed. It's something they've wanted. They want success in Formula One, and I know it's quite hard, especially in the landscape of Formula One at the moment, but just for them to see their home driver score points after being away for 5 years because of obviously everything that's gone on in the world, that's a really big story, probably much bigger than what we saw with Tsunoda in Japan last time out when he got points in front of his home crowd. That was lovely, but this would be even bigger for all the right reasons.
Yeah, I think that's a very bold prediction. I think the car has the potential to be in the points, but their pit stops mean it's, I don't think that's very likely. But that's the point of a bold prediction.
That's why it's bold. I'm gonna keep spamming it until it happens with Sauber. It's got to happen at some point. Before we sign off, Lee, of course, quick thought on the sprint race this weekend. As I said, a lot of people with concerns regarding the sporadic nature of this venue. We haven't been there in 5 years. Obviously, there's a bit of jeopardy on what tyres we're going to go for because we haven't had any ground effect cars on this circuit. And we're having a sprint race. Do you think it's a good idea for F1 to be having a sprint race in China, given that, as I said, almost half the grid have little to no experience of this circuit and all the jeopardy that's going to come with it, and we're only getting one practice session before that? I mean, it's a recipe for chaos, isn't it?
My answer is yes and no. It's a good thing to have the sprint race this weekend for the exact reason you said. It's a recipe for chaos. It's going to be entertaining. Well, I hope entertaining. There's going to be obviously low. If it's an entertaining race, the local demand will be greater for next year because obviously, if the Chinese fans turn out and it's an entertaining race, they want to come back for future races. Obviously, it makes a different story to have a chaotic race for the global media and the global fans as well. But on the other hand, it's not a good idea because there's so many unknowns, but then that's why it's a good idea at the same time. So it really depends which side of the coin you are on it. But for me personally, I do think it's a good idea just because I just love a bit of chaos, really.
Depends on who you are, really. If you're a team or a driver or anyone associated with the two, you're going to say this is a bad idea. But if you're a fan and if you're F1 trying to sell a product to its target market, you're like, bring it on. The more jeopardy, the better. Within reason, of course. We don't want to be crazy here. But the more chaotic entertainment on track, the better for us fans. So I don't like sprint races. I've made that very well documented. I don't like the sprint format whatsoever. But you know what? It's the right recipe for an entertaining weekend. So bring it on. I want to see it. So hopefully F1 can deliver on that and hopefully we get a really good Grand Prix this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Fernando did say that he'll just happily get rid of the practice and just get straight into the sprint and just be a boom.
Yeah, any excuse for the Red Bulls and the Ferraris to not dial themselves in is always a good idea for the rest of the weekend. But it's funny. Fernando's the sort of guy that says we don't have enough time to get used to conditions with these cars. And now he's saying bin off the practice because he obviously senses the opportunity there. It's literally going to be the driver with the experience and ones that can hold their nerve. And Fernando certainly fits into that category at the moment. But the last early one for us UK fans, of course, until the European races kick in. So on Saturday, we've got the sprint race at 4 a.m. UK time. So good luck anyone getting up for that. And then we've got the main qualifying on the Saturday. We've got sprint qualifying on the Friday on 8:30 in the morning UK time. That's not too bad for sprint qualifying, just before work for some of us. And then the main race on the Sunday at 8 a.m. So, yeah, it's going to be an early one. Not as early as the other ones have been, Lee, but, yeah, it might make for some entertaining viewing in the morning for us.
Yeah, something to have once you if up and at them, so to speak. It's ones I'll probably see live, not the... not the sprint race, though.
No, no, absolutely. We'll check back in early when Max Verstappen has had a clean sweep of everything after all the hype that we built it up. And what was the other stat I saw the other day? In the last 105 races since the Chinese Grand Prix, the last one, the rest of the grid have won 53 races. Verstappen's won 52. Yeah. I mean, it's literally the image of the Verstappen dominance right there. Literally that particular stat. It's incredible. And... I might be saying this a little bit sour, but I'm not. I think it's a phenomenal stat from Max Verstappen and Red Bull, but what a chance for him to equal and level the playing field. The rest of the field are washed. He's carrying them all by himself. The other 19 need to get their act together. So we'll leave on that somberish note, if you like, Lee. But as always, guys, thanks for tuning in. Really, really appreciate your support. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Again, sorry it was a little bit late. As I said, I wasn't feeling too well a couple of days ago. So it's a couple of days late, but hopefully certainly not a dollar short. We will be back on Saturday for a reaction to the main race qualifying session and, of course, the sprint race as well. And then, of course, we'll follow that with our main race review on Sunday. But, of course, that'll be out Monday morning for a lot of you as well for your morning commute. So until then, guys, thanks for tuning in as always. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review. It really does help us out a lot on your favorite podcasting platform. And we will see you in the next episode of the DNF1 F1 podcast. Until then, take care. You can follow us on all our socials. Search at @DNF1_official on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Don't forget to follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and also leave us a 5-star review. If you're not first, you're probably DNF1.
Sports Social Podcast Network.